I'm going to speak to the CEO of the Santa's Shoebox Project, Deb Zalesniak. Sometimes you're just very aware that there are people out there who are just good, plain, unadulterated good, that make you feel, goodness me, I should be doing better. Deb, sounds like you are doing God's work.
Well, that's a bone of contention, but I'm certainly working very hard at this incredible project, the Santa Shoebox Project.
So I want to talk to you about that. I want to find out all about it. I just know that at this time of the year that corporate South Africa goes to work, everybody and generally the older women start talking about what they're going to be putting in a shoebox for Christmas. Is that pretty much where we're at with this project? Have I got the right one?
You do. I'll correct you, though, in that what we're doing right now is speaking to corporates. And I wish I could say that most of them were women, but largely corporates are run by, it's still male-dominated.
Still is, still
I mean,
is.
It's absurd. We're in Women's Month and we're talking about another issue completely.
Yep.
But yes, South Africans all over, private, corporate, schools, knitting circles and soccer clubs are stepping up to support the Santa Shoebox Project again. It's our 19th year. We turn 20 next year. We've reached 1.3 million children, plus another 200,000 or so through our SSP legacy work, where we train teachers, install reading corners, and build early childhood development centers. I've just handed my seventh one over.
Goodness gracious me, but pardon my absolute ignorance. Yeah. SSP what?
SSP Legacy, Santa Shoebox Project Legacy. It's our socioeconomic development arm. So, you know, for all the years, we've been having to justify the value of a shoebox. People go, oh, it's just a gift. It's not just a gift. It's an upliftment tool. It gives children who don't have easy access to the very basics, like a toothbrush, a toothpaste, a face cloth and soap, the chance to show up as their very best selves at school. We give them stationery for the year ahead. We give them, of course, treats like sweets and a toy, a brand new outfit of clothing. But what we focus on is the psychosocial benefit of a child who really, you know, is looked away from. It's an uncomfortable truth, receiving something that supports their dignity.
You know, you took the wind out of my sails there a little bit, because the very next question I was going to ask you was, are you not just sticking a plaster on a massive wound? But I think you've dealt with that in that answer. And it's just, you know, again, if you come from privilege and you haven't been exposed to what you clearly have been exposed to, you know, it never dawned on me that the kid is going to school and he hasn't brushed his teeth. So he probably doesn't smell too good, probably alienating people. And that then results in a whole bunch of social issues. I mean, why is it I'm thinking about this for the first time now?
Because you're privileged.
Yeah. I suppose
short
that
answer.
Is the answer.
You know, urban people drive past underprivilege on their way to work, on their way to a restaurant, on their way to Hermanus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's urban poverty. Rural poverty is a completely different animal. And it is very easy to overlook that because we don't drive past it. We don't venture into the hinterland of our very complicated country. I've just come from there. From a place called, would you believe, Loskop, otherwise Tugela, which is the isiZulu word for the Tugela River.
Okay.
The roads are not tarred. In fact, they are cattle paths by the time you reach the school that we built. These are kids who, if they're lucky, walk to school, no shoes on their feet, in freezing temperatures. We all think that KZN is lovely and balmy. Get close to the mountain and you realize how cold it is. You know, and the Department of Basic Education doesn't see fit in KZN to disseminate the child grant. So, and the parents, of course, are largely unemployed and themselves are rural people, of course. So the schools that their kids attend are like a cattle kraal. You know, there's no floor. It's just dung. There's no glass in the windows. It's completely unfinished, no ceilings. And these women are doing their very, very best under very trying circumstances. And I'm very proud of our project that we choose not to look away, that we choose to focus on dire need. We work in rural areas, which is simultaneously the most difficult work, but also the most uplifting and the most rewarding.
See, I really did have the wrong idea of this. I did think it was, you know, grey-haired old ladies putting in a crunchie and a pair of socks. I thought that's what these Santa boxes were. I didn't realize the societal aspect of what it is that you do.
Yeah, look, the Santa Shoebox itself is and will always be our anchor tenant, so to speak, in that every component is chosen with the underprivileged child in mind, and it's accessible to donors, donors who don't necessarily want to look abject poverty in the eye.
Yes.
They can make up a beautiful gift. They can put their hearts and souls into it. And they do, Simon, which is so enormously heartwarming. You know, the handmade items, the notes that are written to the beneficiary kids, the boxes where the components are chosen by children, for children their own age.
Gosh, it must be quite
something. So we're going to be distributing. Yeah. It's incredible. We'll be distributing another 80,000 of those, we hope, this year across South Africa and in Namibia. We've got 60 drop-off points around the country. Every donor that chooses a child does so knowing that that child lives in or around their community. So if you're in Cape Town, the boxes go into Cape Town and surrounding areas. Further up the coast, you know, to Barrydale and Vredenburg and all over the Western Cape. But we've got another 50 plus drop-off points around the country in every province. And they are, as I said, chosen with an underprivileged child in mind, but with a firm focus on education.
Which makes absolutely total and utter sense. Tell me something. Let's make this practical. If somebody wants to get involved or assist or help in any way or make up a box, what do they do?
They pop onto our website, santashoebox.org.za. They're welcome to drop me a mail, Debbie, Debbie, at santashoebox.org.za. There is a contact form on our website. Anything that comes through will be forwarded to the right person, depending on where in South Africa you are. And public pledging kicks off on the 1st of September. That's 2 weeks from yesterday. So put it in your diary and don't forget. The 1st of September is an incredible day in our calendar. It's an avalanche of kindness that floods our website. We hope to have about 40,000 pledges in the bag by the end of the 1st of September. So let's make that happen. Reach out to me, Debbie, at santashoebox.org.za.
That's a great place to leave it. Debbie Zalesniak of the Santa's Shoebox Project. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Absolute pleasure. Standing by for an update, right? Mid-September?
You bet.
Thanks, Simon. Bye.
Goodbye. And the time is coming up for, well, I was going to say 2:15, but it's not quite 4:45. Simon Anstey is the name. Chai FM is the station. 0618951019. That's the WhatsApp number. And use it, because I want to hear from you.